I know you all are anxious to hear me apologize for the fact that I have been very strongly stating that Mr. Donald Trump will stay in office. And now it has been announced and declared this morning that Mr. Biden is the next president. In fact, the mass media and networks, including CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, AP, and even Fox News, all declared in unison and at the same time that Biden is going to be the next president. Interestingly enough, Newsmax did not, pointing out that such declaration was premature in light of ongoing vote counts, mandatory recounts, and numerous legal challenges. Now, it's interesting how the press has been announcing this all over the world. I'm getting articles from Germany, Mr. Biden, the next president. He is the elected new president, and there's celebration on the street to that effect. Now, President Trump is not conceding, and he issued a statement after the Associated Press and other news outlets declared Joe Biden the next president. I'd like to just read it to you. He says, "We all know why Joe Biden is rushing to falsely pose as a winner and why his media allies are trying so hard to help him. They don't want the truth to be exposed. The simple fact is this election is far from over. Joe Biden has not been certified as a winner of any states, let alone any of the highly contested states headed for mandatory recounts, or states where our campaign has valid and legitimate legal challenges that could determine the ultimate victor. In Pennsylvania, for example, our legal observers were not permitted meaningful access to watch the counting process. Legal votes decide who is president, not the news media. Beginning Monday, our campaign will start prosecuting our case in court to ensure election laws are fully upheld and the rightful winner is seated. The American people are entitled to an honest election. That means counting all legal ballots and not counting any illegal ballots. This is the only way to ensure the public has full confidence in our election. It remains shocking that the Biden campaign refuses to agree with this basic principle and wants ballots counted even if they are fraudulent, manufactured, or cast by ineligible or deceased voters. Only a party engaged in wrongdoing would unlawfully keep observers out of the courtroom or the count room and then fight in court to block their access. So what is Biden hiding? I will not rest until the American people have the honest vote count they deserve and that democracy demands." Well, of course, as you can imagine, that caused all kinds of rejection in the mass media, saying, "Oh, here's Trump again, he is not going to be willing to concede, and he is absolutely hurt because of his ego, which has been damaged," and so on. But what about the situation? What about, first of all, we all should understand that if the press declares somebody to be president, that means nothing. There has to be illegal accounting in order to get to that point. But what about the allegation of fraud and irregularities? Now, unanimously, the press, the mass media, the left-wing media is telling us, oh, there's no evidence whatsoever for that. It's a made-up kind of thing to delude from the fact that Trump has lost. Well, let me give you some things we already know. It's interesting, too, by the way, that that press release by all these different organizations was made at the same time, an hour before the Trump team and the lawyers gave a press conference in Pennsylvania to speak about some of these fraudulent activities. The Washington Post wrote on November 6 that Republicans asked the U.S. Supreme Court to ensure county election officials were segregating mail ballots delivered after Election Day. says Esther Lubis, Pennsylvania. On Friday evening, Justice Samuel Alito, who received the petition because he is a justice responsible for that region, approved the request for now, ordered county boards to comply with state guidance to keep the late ballots separate. That's how the Washington Post reported it, but they missed an important additional aspect. Because Alito ordered the election officials not only to keep the mail ballots separate, but also, if they are counted, to count them separately and not to include them in the figures of ballots for Biden, which apparently has been done. So the figure which has been given in Pennsylvania doesn't seem to be correct at all. The reason being, under Pennsylvania law, those ballots must not be included in the final count. But election officials apparently ignored that provision. So that's something which I can see going up all the way to the United States Supreme Court. But have you heard about the computer glitch in Michigan? Let me read that to you, what happened. An entire Michigan county has flipped back to its historically Republican roots after a manual recount of votes. Officials with Antrim County posted updated results showing President Trump won the county with 9,783 votes, making up 56.46% of the ballots cast. Joe Biden earned 7,289 votes, or 42.07%. The county initially went blue and showed a win for Biden before the error was discovered. So the officials have blamed the county's election software. That system is also used in 64, now some say 47, other counties across the state. I'm quoting this from WLNS, a local paper. Electronic added on November 6, software used to tabulate votes gave 6,000 votes to Joe Biden in this county, where ballots were counted for Democrats that were meant for Republicans. Antrim County had to hand count all of the ballots, and these counties that used the software need to closely examine their results for similar discrepancies. So in other words, you have to have now 47 counties, some say 64, they have to all recount by hand. Of note, Trump won Antrim County in 2016. With 62% of the votes versus 33% for Hillary Clinton. Now, Breitbart added this. The Associated Press has called battleground Michigan for the former vice president, who leads Trump by an estimated 146,000 votes. Hypothetically, a similar glitch of 6,000 ballots in each of those counties, 47 or even more, would call 282,000 ballots into question, well above Biden's current margin of victory. But also this was added. Two Georgia counties using the same electronic voting software as a Michigan county that experienced a glitch have also reported encountering glitches during the 2020 election. A Georgia election official said that a technical glitch that halted voting in the two counties was caused by a vendor uploading an update to their election machines the night before the election. Now, that's something we never do. I've never seen them update anything the way or the day before the election, said Marcia Ridley, election supervisor of this particular county. And she doesn't know why this was even updated. On Friday, a Republican county official in Michigan's Oakland County said he found out that he won a re-election in a race he initially thought was lost because a computer glitch was fixed. As for Georgia, the state reportedly implemented this controversial system in every county for the first time this year. Trump attorney Jay Sekulow said that the Trump campaign's lawyers should demand a manual recount of any other areas that use the same software. 30 states, we're not just talking about counties, now we're talking 30 U.S. states, have used a software, the same one, that there's already proved to be a glitch of 6,000 votes in one balloting area, and now you've got 30 states using it. Lawyers should be in every one of those jurisdictions demanding a manual recount. Now think about that. If that's going to happen, how long is that going to take? I mean, even just based on that, to declare Biden the winner, the next president, is just absolutely, completely premature. Now, when we go to our update, there is more which I want to point out, and I'll go right into the current events section. Because there's more fraud involved. And I'm talking about fraud, not just irregularities. There's clearly fraud. The only question is when the Trump campaign goes to court, what can they all prove? And what are courts willing to acknowledge? And are they really willing to question the entire election? You know, for instance, in Philadelphia, and I quote from our update now, that Attorney General Adam Laxalt noted that thousands of ballots have been found in trash cans in apartment buildings in Nevada. Also, in Philadelphia, thousands of ballots suddenly appeared. I believe it was almost like 20,000, maybe more, which were all in favor of Biden. Not one in favor of Trump. Now, that is more than suspicious, don't you think? Trump said, the White House said, that what we are seeing here is the Democrats are in cahoots with big media, big money, and big tech. Now, when you see the sudden declarations this morning, all at the same time, just before the press conference by the attorneys to declare Biden a winner, I mean, you almost have to totally agree with that. And he apparently alluded also to the polls, those national polls. They were all terribly wrong. Why were they all terribly wrong? I mean, so blatantly wrong. Oh, Biden's going to win with 17%, and so on, as they said. Now, it had been suggested on Fox News before Fox News, for whatever reason, totally jumped ship and went on the bandwagon of the left-wing mass media. It had been suggested there originally that there might have been an intent to publish wrong votes and wrong polls, I should say, intentionally, to discourage voters to even vote for Trump, thinking, oh, well, of course, if Biden is ahead so far, why should I even vote? Now, why Fox News is now doing what they're doing, even already declaring Arizona to be for Biden, whereas not even CNN and MSNBC didn't even do that. I mean, that's beyond me. But in any event, I'd like to also read some more. The campaign suggested that a national challenge, meaning that lawsuits would be filed in every state where the results are being contested, would occur. You know, if you go back to 2000, to the year 2000, this controversy between Gore and Bush, I mean, there was one recount. But now we know there are already several recounts which have to take place because, you know, the results are too tight. And then there are others which might have to take place, and then an accounting might have to take place if, in fact, fraud can be proven. But in the Gore versus Bush situation in the year 2000, there were recounts in Florida, just in Florida, though. It took the intervention of the United States Supreme Court and further political maneuverings until the winner was declared in the middle of December. That's how long that took at that time. And this was just one state. And interestingly enough, in Florida, Bush won, so they say, with 600 votes. 600 votes. You know, millions of voters in Florida. So, I mean, all of this should tell us something. Let's not jump on the bandwagon of hysterical mass medias who are telling everybody, oh, Biden has won, because we don't know this. We don't know this at this point. There are so many things which can happen. And we have to just wait and see. I mean, I will apologize. If I'm wrong, I will apologize that I have made this very strong statement that Trump is going to stay in power. But this has not come to the point yet where there is a need to apologize. Let's just wait and see. I want to give you some more about mail fraud and fraud during voting procedures. And we also published this in our update. The mainstream pro-media or pro-Biden media is poking fun at Donald Trump's suggestion that there could be fraud involved in the post-election receipt of mail-in ballots. Apparently, they are not familiar with the election theft case of Lyndon Johnson, who would go on to become president of the United States. Johnson election theft took place in 1948. There had to be a runoff, and it says the day after the runoff election, it was, quote-unquote, discovered that the returns of a particular county had not yet been counted. And the newly discovered votes were overwhelmingly in favor of Johnson. Reminds you a little bit as to what happened here with Biden and Trump in Pennsylvania. Then, on Monday, more returns came in from the Rio Grande Valley. But then on Friday, Jim Wells County filed fraudulent amended returns for what has become famous as Box 13 that gave Johnson another 200 votes. The fraud in regard to the additional 200 votes was later confessed by the perpetrators. When all was said and done, Johnson had won, quote-unquote, the election by just 87 votes. So Lyndon Johnson stole the election and ended up going to Washington as Texas U.S. Senator. Ironically, if Stevenson, that was the challenger, had become the state's senator instead, Johnson would never have been selected to be John Kennedy's vice presidential running mate and consequently would never have been president. So it happened. It happened before. Absolute blatant fraud happened before. At that time, nobody challenged it. The courts, a court friendly to Johnson, friendly to the Democrats, refused to look into the matter. And so Johnson became senator and later president. Now, Rand Paul brought up this situation. He wrote about that on Twitter. He was immediately censored until he could show that this was actually written and documented by a Democrat. And then it was uncensored. That is what's happening in the United States of America. And let me just tell you, even the world might at this point rejoice in the fact that Mr. Biden is, quote unquote, the next president. The fact that America has become a laughing stock, the fact that we are looked upon as a complete, totally corrupt country, even when it comes to the voting procedure, should not be overlooked. And that is exactly what we are experiencing. So, of course, all kinds of speculations are being brought to the forefront now. What's going to happen if? Well, let's just wait with the speculations because we haven't even seen the end result yet of this election. Maybe the United States Supreme Court is getting involved, and now with five on the Supreme Court who are truly conservative, with Roberts, of course, you know, waving back and forth, but he wouldn't have the decisive vote now, maybe they are going to say, no, wait a minute, we better stop this here. We better do something about it because it is so blatantly fraudulent what's happening. Maybe, maybe not. Giuliani today was asked, is Mr. Trump conceding? He said, absolutely not. With 600,000 ballots in question, why would he accept defeat? No, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it, and we know that he's not going to do it. He will not concede the election, perhaps never. Did you know that Hillary Clinton never conceded the defeat either in 2016? But we'll have to see, and we have to wait and see what's going to happen. But the last words haven't been written yet, so no apology from this angle here. When it comes to the update, since I've talked about this already, we have a new Standing Watch program, Consequences of Mandatory Vaccinations Against Corona. Mandatory vaccinations. And here's a summary. While the world and the American people focus on the outcome of the presidential election, and rightly so, this program addresses a somewhat related issue which will affect everyone personally in the very near future, that of vaccinations against the coronavirus. Will these vaccinations become mandatory and be enforced? If so, what will be the consequences for all involved, whether they comply or refuse? In a nightmarish, non-religious article, frightening parallels to biblical prophecies are being discussed. And I talked about this article already last time. It's by Ron Paul, and he makes a very strong case for something which would be unheard of a few years ago. We also have posted the other messages, the German sermon by myself, and I will give the version in English here a little bit later, then a sermonette by Mike Richter, the news on prophecy comments by myself, and then the sermon by Michael Link last week on shining in a dark world. I will go back real quick to the beginning of the update. By the way, it's update 946. Editorial was written by Kellen Mitchell, and he's asking the question, are we forgetting things? Or the title was, Lest We Forget, and he first quotes a lot of statements from former presidents and other high-ranking officials about our relationship to God and the Bible. And then I'd like to just quote from the last paragraph. He writes, while we know what is going to happen, and it can be rather frightening or discouraging, we should each take stock that the suffering and the horrible things that are occurring now and will continue to happen with greater ferocity until Christ's return will end. And that's very important to emphasize. They will end. And whatever happens from now on until Christ returns, we should understand God is in charge. We should also understand that Satan is ruling this world, but he can only do what God allows. And of course, critical governmental positions will be put in place by either God himself or by him allowing Satan to do it to bring about biblical prophecy. Now, biblical prophecy is clear. The Bible doesn't lie. We sometimes may be wrong in understanding certain things. And as I said, if I have been wrong in whatever area it might be, and I'm proven to be wrong, I will apologize. Obviously, I will clarify. I won't put that under the carpet. But it has to be shown to be wrong to begin with. And not that I feel I'm infallible, because I have been wrong before. I believe that I have a strong suspicion as to who the beast is. I'm not going to tell you until I know absolutely for sure that I'm correct. But again, we just have to watch. We just have to watch as how things are going. Real quickly, we have a Q&A on the indulgences by the Pope and by the Catholic Church, and this is now part three of the series, and this goes into the spirit in man, and of course the immortal soul as well, but the spirit in man. What's the difference? Some people don't see any difference and think the spirit in man is the immortal soul. And they know that the spirit in man goes back to God when man dies. So therefore, what's wrong then with indulgences? In other words, you pray to what, the spirit in man, which is with God right now, to help or whatever the idea, the convoluted idea might be. But of course, that is not what the Bible teaches. One more thing. We have quite a few articles in this particular update about the resistance in all the world against the coronavirus restrictions and the lockdowns. They have started in England now. They have now started in other places around the world. Germany, Austria, Italy, Spain to an extent, Portugal, Belgium. Today there was a demonstration in Leipzig in Germany. They say 20,000 people at least were participating in this demonstration against the restrictions. Guess what happened? Police came in and they stopped the demonstration because some of the people, they didn't have masks on. Some of the people, they didn't have social distancing. It became violent. The press is saying, oh, it's the left-wing and the right-wing radicals. I have a different suspicion because I know what happened not too long ago in Berlin when it was the police provoking the violence. So no matter how you look at this and who was responsible, we say in our update that we can expect more and more that governments will come in strongly, very strongly, with brutal force to suppress whatever dissenting opinion might exist. One more article I'd like to read to you, just to tell you where that's all going. This was published by MSN, dated November 6. Baden-Württemberg's interior minister, Thomas Strobel, Baden-Württemberg, a state in Germany, wants quarantine refusers to be forcibly transferred to a closed hospital, or, in other words, institutionalized. Now, this guy is not just nobody. He is the federal vice president. He is the second in command in Angela Merkel's party. He says, if a person has been identified as a confirmed or potential carrier of the virus, the separation doesn't serve as punishment, but as protection for others. And then this article quotes all kinds of people who are in agreement, and then there are a few who are not in agreement. Interestingly enough, the ones who are not in agreement are the AfD group. This is the right-wing radicals, according to the mass media. Of course, they are not at all. Now, they are not in agreement. It says that is unbearable, what is being proposed. Let me just say, something like that has never happened since Nazi Germany in World War II. That's what we are seeing right now. You're seeing it more and more. You're seeing it not just in Germany. You're seeing it all over the place. We should be very well aware of this. I mean, the mass media, it's all for this kind of stuff. But what is God saying? And that is all I have right now. I'm pretty sure more is going to be forthcoming as all of this is progressing. So let's just wait and see and watch, because that's what we're supposed to do, and watch it in the light of biblical prophecy. So let's have another hymn, and after that, I guess we have the sermon.